Welcome to World Cafe Words and Music from WXBN. I'm David Dye. Bob Mould, one of the most influential artists from 80s punk with Husker Du, is back with a new solo album, Beauty and Ruin. It builds on his last two albums, 2009's Life and Times and 2012's Silver Age, using the same rhythm section of Jason Narducci on bass and John Worster on drums. Since coming out and making an excursion into club music with Modulate in 2002, Mould has been back into the three-piece guitar-driven format that is his forte. It's the sound he also used in the 90s with Sugar. Mould may have said much in his autobiography, See a Little Light, The Trail of Rage and Melody from 2011, but he has saved a lot for us today. We will talk after this performance of the new song, I Don't Know You Anymore. I Don't Know You Anymore, Bob Mould from Beauty and Ruin, the new album, a live version today, as we're getting a chance to hear this great band in action live. Hi, Bob. Thanks a lot for being here.
How you doing, David?
And, you know, I'm sitting here with this album, and I'm turning it, and when you look at Beauty and Ruin, how the different fonts, the front, the back, you get the real vibe of an album, of a side Beauty and a side Ruin. Was that the idea?
Well, that was just an adaptation of the chorus of a song called Let the Beauty Be, where
right.
I said, let the beauty be, don't ruin it for me. And beauty and ruin just sounded sort of cool together, and that was the genesis for the album title, and then things started to mutate from there, I guess.
Yeah, there's kind of an arc to the record. Did you see it as... God, I hate to, you know, I wouldn't say that you put it together necessarily that way, but did it start to emerge as you went along?
It was not a fully formed thought from the beginning. All the various themes on the record made themselves known probably 8 months into the 12-month writing process. And at that point, the four themes that I speak of, loss, reflection, acceptance, and future became these, picture frames, I guess, in a way that I started putting the various songs in order to try to tell this story. Mm-hmm. It's always a work in progress until the very last minute, but it was not a fully formed concept, so to speak. It made itself known, especially in that last 4 months of the writing process.
Now those four stages, those are pretty much like the stages of grief, aren't they?
Yeah, pretty much, right? That's, I guess, isn't there five stages of grief?
I think you have to add one there.
That WTF part, isn't that? I left that. Did I leave that part out?
Yeah. That's in there. I know that. So this 12-month period of writing was pretty, you were pretty much documenting your life at the time, or how should we look at that?
I'll try to set this up for the listener. Twenty eleven was a fun year for me with the autobiography and working with the Foo Fighters and then the Disney Hall tribute show, which I think some people have seen, where a lot of musicians who I have great respect for gathered to pay tribute to my songbook. So 2011 was a year to reflect. 2012 was a year that saw the sugar reissues, Silver Age, and then in October of 2012, my dad, the man who brought music to my life, passed away. And that's where the beginning of the 12 months of writing for this record started. Hmm. And, best of times, worst of times. And, there's a lot of great things happening in that 12 months, a lot of touring, a lot of playing with John Worster, Jason Narduzzi, my longtime rhythm section. And we were going all over the world having a great time. But, in between, it's, thinking about loss, looking around my life, not only losing my dad, but, seeing other friends having, real bad health problems, people losing jobs, and people loss in general, mm-hmm. things that happen. And, for me, it made me, specifically the situation with, with my dad's passing, it's a, cause for reflection on my life with him, my life after I left the house I grew up in, and all the different interactions and how it all, hopefully how it all fits together and who I used to be and who I wanted to be, and sort of accepting a lot of the changes that come with loss. And ultimately, by the tail end of the record, things are pretty sunny, pretty optimistic, pretty brisk, sort of like living in San Francisco. Starts out foggy and somewhere during the day it gets sort of sunny, and that's that gray and yellow that you see when you look at Beauty and Ruin.
Did you what was your relationship with your dad like?
It was good. It's pretty good. I mean, rough childhood, but I love my dad. Again, he was he did the best he could for keeping the family together, and it was what it was. I don't assign a lot of blame and anything like that. People do what they do, and you make the most of the life that you have. And he's a complicated guy. I think I think that's something I probably inherited from him as well as other things. So.
Mm-hmm. Let's go through. If you guys could do a performance of, I kind of wanted to go chronologically through this album, because if we're going to look at it as an arc, right? I think that's mm-hmm. probably the way to
sure,
do
sure.
it. Tell us about how Nemesis are Laughing fits in.
Well, Nemesis are Laughing is track five on a 12-track album, so it sits squarely in the middle of the reflection pack. It's set up by a song called "Kid with Crooked Face," where it's I'm sort of making a funny but sort of true observation about how I used to view myself when I would see photographs. I'm a Libra, so I'm big into balance, and I always thought that when I smiled, I sort of had this crooked smile or crooked face, so I never really smiled much. And That's the first of the three songs. Nemesis Are Laughing specifically. It's just it's just snapshots of rearview mirrors and playground taunting, and that's that whole sort of do. It's almost sometimes, if I think about it, like a Clockwork Orange kind of. If anybody ever saw that movie, and sort of those childish little songs that people will sing as they're circling around you. I thought that was one of the key images in the lyrics of this song. So the rest of it, leave the rest of it to imagination. But that's a good jumping off spot.
This is Nemesis Are Laughing. Bob Mould and this great band doing music from Beauty and Ruin today on the cafe. That is Nemesis Are Laughing. The 25th anniversary of Workbook, the solo album, is as come up, and it kind of that anniversary kind of inserted itself into your life. And you know what I mean? That's not exactly where you were, but there's that date, and that of course is an album worth looking back at. And how did you feel at the time about kind of interrupting things to go back to that, and how did it fit in what you were thinking?
Well, I saw it coming on the calendar, much like the 20th anniversary of Copper Blue back in 2012.
Right.
Yeah, this one, I got to be honest, wrapping my head around these very intricate guitar parts and these very articulated arrangements and, you know, these soaring vocals. A lot of that stuff is out of my range these days. So it was physically, it was a bit more of a chore than I saw coming. Emotionally, I always loved that record. It's a very different place than I am at the moment. You know, it's that farm and, you know, the wake of Husker Du, and, you know, very, very different than, you know, the sentiment of Beauty and Ruin. It was a lot to finish up the workbook shows and then immediately go into surprise debut new album at South by Southwest. 3 days later, it was like, whoa, what do we do?
Well, I didn't realize it was that close. Yeah, that is pretty.
It was stupid close. I couldn't even adjust. It really had a hard time adjusting, to be honest.
Wow. There's a song on here called Hey, Mr. Gray. And of course, when you think of gray, you either think of a really dull color or you think of people getting old. How is this interpreted?
Both.
Yeah.
I am Mr. Gray, of course, everybody asks. And yes, that is me. I'm just, you know, poking fun at myself. It's a continuation of the fun I poked at myself with the title track from Silver Age. You know, you know, in these times, it's hard to fudge your age. You know, people know everything about you,
right,
via the internet. But you know, I'm good with who I am and what I do, and I get the joke. You know, I can laugh at it. I think if I was in tougher physical shape and not able to do what I've done with this record, I might not be chuckling as much,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, I'm still pretty good at what I do, and very, very aware of the age difference between me and say a band like White Lung or Cheetahs or someone like that, or Cloud Nothings, you know, or
right.
Whatever. I'm very aware of it, so it's good.
Do you like playing gigs with other bands that are younger? I mean, I would think that kind of energy would rub off.
Yeah, it's really fun. I think it works really well for everybody involved. Finding a good young band to take out on the road, you know, people who want to work hard and take their music seriously, but also, you know, have good dispositions and are nice people. That's the dream. You know, whether they punk rock as hard or harder, that, you know, that's not as important as I got to see these people every day when we're done with sound check.
Right.
And I got to see them every day when they finish playing. You know, so you want to hang with people that you get along with, and you know, it is fun, having younger bands on the bill. They tend to bring a new audience to what I do. And I've got a pretty accepting audience myself. You know, they know that I handpick the support acts 99% of the time, so they get there early and they give the new bands a lot of attention. So it's I think it works out well for everybody.
Well, here's the old guy with his band, and this is a live version of Hey, Mr. Gray.
All goodbye.
Bob Mould is our guest today, and a live version of Hey, Mr. Gray, which is on Beauty and Ruin. You know, we did a show when you had your dance record. And, you know, it's funny. I can look back on it and see it in perspective. But at the time, I think you were kind of indicating, this is me now. This is where I'm going. This is, you know, as opposed to sort of a sidetrack. Do you break everything you do up into, do you see it in chapters? I mean, you talk about snapshots on this album as each song kind of being a snapshot, but I'm wondering if you have enough perspective on your career to see it as in different chapters.
Well, you know, the record of which you speak, you know, in 2002, I put out a record called Modulate, which was about 4 years after a record called The Last Dog and Pony Show, where at the age of 38, I was proclaiming that I was done with guitar rock. I had been doing it for 20 years of my life, and I wanted to stay in New York, work on my identity as a gay man. The soundtrack to finding that identity was club music and dance music. And I worked for 3 years in earnest towards making a record that represented that. The record came out. It was very confusing to a lot of longtime fans. I don't think it got me a lot of new fans, but it was very fulfilling. And there's a lot of good songwriting, and it's a very naive approach to electronica. So it is what it is. And, and it I think it perfectly represents, you know, a 3 year period of my life that not everybody understands, not everybody appreciates, but that's cool. I get it. It was really something I wanted to do for myself, and I really believed in the record, and I still do. It's you know, but it is a difficult one in my catalog, I suppose.
Well, my only point would be that you didn't continue in that vein necessarily, and yet you continued to DJ.
I didn't continue specifically in that vein. I think, you know, in 05 with the Body of Song album, there was a fair amount of electronics woven in with guitars. In 2006, there was a blow-off artist album. Myself and Rich Morrill wrote and recorded 12 songs and put that out. And people really, you know, people appreciated that record a lot. But, you know, as the decade went on, the DJing got bigger, but my interest in creating electronica started to lessen. And again, I think by 2011, especially the end of 2011, after doing all the work with Foo Fighters and stuff, it really felt like home. Mm-hmm. You know, those guys really made a nice little spot for me for a period of time, and it just seemed so easy. You know, it seemed easier than it was the first time around, I guess.
Bob Mould is our guest. Got a live version of The War. Place this in the continuum of this record.
The song The War?
Yeah.
The song The War is it's an important one to me. It's the turning point of the record. It's right in the middle of the record, the end of side one, I guess, for people who bought the vinyl version. It was a song that I had the words for when we went to Chicago in October of 2013 to make this record, but I didn't really have any music in my mind to accompany these words. And I think it was the eve of my birthday, and we were in doing our work, and I remember spending about a half a day just by myself in an isolation booth with my words and a guitar and a practice amp, and you know, just sort of made this song out of nothing. And it's a good one. You know, I don't know you anymore. People say, oh, perfect, airtight pop song perfect, but you know, I love that song, but the war was, you know, very, very immediate, very, you know, very, very from sort of down deep kind of song. It's the kind of song that I will probably play in the middle of my last set ever if I know myself well enough.
That speaks it's very highly of it.
It sure does, doesn't it? I don't put too many songs in that category, but it's definitely one of those. It's very easy to play. It's very easy to sing. The story holds true forever. It's, yeah, you don't get many of those in a writing career. So I'll take it.
This is The War. The War. That's Bob Mould playing live today on the Cafe, and that is from Beauty and Ruin. And you know, Bob, I gotta say, people talk about beautiful ruins too, and there is a beauty in a decay and things like that. Was that part of the thought?
Yeah, of course, of course. It's the juxtaposition, you know. And if people look at the, even if people look at the album cover, the obvious, you know, me at 19, chain smoking, me at 52, looking very serene. You know, which is which, actually. It's I you know, I always like that. I mean, that's the, you know, contrast is key to the work that I do, and at least at the moment, it is. It sure feels like I've really dialed in the contrast. So I'm. Yeah, grateful for it. It's good to see it when I'm doing it. I like that.
Well, thank you so much for spending time with us.
Great. Thank you, David. Always a pleasure.
And playing live. Bob Mould, our guest, and we'll be back in a moment here on the World Cafe. I'm David Dye. World Cafe Words and Music from WXBN is produced at WXBN in Philadelphia. If you'd like to hear more of our World Cafe sessions and get daily cafe alerts, you can sign up at our website at worldcafe.npr.org. As always, thanks for spending your time with the World Cafe.